TJ.
Yes.
I've developed a new superpower.
Ooh, what's that?
I can read minds.
Read my mind.
All right. Think very intensely about a thought.
I'm thinking very intensely about a thought.
All right. Are you thinking it?
Yep.
Are you projecting it out into the universe?
Like a projector.
All right. And I'm reading your mind.
Attention shoppers. Today's 69 cent special is a two-pack.
TJ Cole and Kevin Smith.
Corn.
Damn, you're good.
I'm great. Welcome to 69 Cent Special, everybody. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm TJ Cole. And that was Kevin's psychic confession. And this is ours, the VHS called Psychic Confession.
History's first film confession of a leading psychic from the Vision Video Collection.
That says Vanguard. Oh, Vision Video Collection?
Yeah.
Oh, it says Vanguard on the back.
It says from the Vision Video Collection.
It's got...
Man.
That guy.
Jim Jones claimed to have psychic powers. Charles Manson did too. Are these powers real?
No.
No.
Although Kevin's is.
Sure, it wasn't just a cold read. An educated guess based on things that I know about you already.
Good, I'm glad your powers are real.
Yes. Ha 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 ha.
What year was this tape from?
1986.
Damn, dude, it's an old one.
My goal was to see how dumb the world was, how dumb America was, says psychic deceiver James Heidrich.
Oh, that could have been many, many people.
It could have been me. This is a quote so good, it's on the front and the back.
Damn.
This is one of them big clamshell cases.
One of those big old Disney collection clamshell cases.
We don't get these very often.
We don't. This was an important one, though. Oh yeah, you only see those on, like, Disney VHSs and educational VHSs.
TJ.
Yeah?
We were destined to get this tape.
Yeah?
Because it's number 6923.
Wow. It's destiny. That tape is psychic. It's confessing to us that it's psychic.
Wow.
Damn, dude.
Wow.
Wow. It's late.
It's very late.
This is a little 69 cent special.
After dark.
Mm.
We're not a screensaver anymore.
We're not getting sexy. We're getting weirder.
Well, we might just get tired.
Weirder.
TJ?
I get weird when I'm tired. What's up?
You want me to read the back?
I would love for you to read the back.
All right, cool. Warning, federal law provides severe civil and criminal penalties for the unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or exhibition of copyrighted motion pictures and videotapes. Title 17, United States Code, Sections 501 and 506. The Federal Bureau of Investigation investigates allegations of criminal copyright infringement. Title 17, United States Code, Section 506. Oh, you wanted me to read the top of the
back. Did you get all that, America?
You wanted me to
read the... Yes, I would love to read the top.
The top of the back.
Yeah.
The actual information.
Yep. The part that I was listening for. Yep.
Not the copyright code.
Not the laws that I ignore. I mean, obey.
Does anyone actually, like, pay attention to those?
Well, I think those are just to prevent, like, a movie theater from buying a VHS of a movie and making tons of money off showing it without the studio knowing.
Well, yeah.
Which is, I get that.
But. I mean, if I went to a movie theater and I saw, like, VHS quality, like, tape being shown.
I'd ask for my money back, but I'd keep the popcorn.
I think that's fair. Although you would have probably also paid for the popcorn.
It would have been more for the popcorn than the ticket.
Yeah.
That's what, like $50 for a bucket now?
How long has that joke been around? Because it just seems like it's always been the case.
I don't know. Well, in more recent times, studios have taken more and more of a cut.
Sure. And
of
they
movie sales.
And they have to make it back.
Yep.
Somehow. And I understand that these movie theaters basically are... The movie industry kind of has these theaters... Over a barrel.
Oh, 100%.
They always Disney. Have.
Yeah.
But as movies are more expensive, the movie theaters the movie producers need to take more money from each ticket, which means that the movie theater has to make their money back somehow, is why it costs $45 to buy a small Sprite.
And then Disney can strong arm their movies into theaters and force theaters to
only show their movies.
Only show their movies and not show other movies they would otherwise like to show. Because they're assholes.
Yes.
And very close to a monopoly.
Did you know that Disney owns, it's one of the, car rental companies.
Enterprise?
No.
Alamo?
No. Starts with a T?
I don't know. I have never rented a car, actually.
I've never had the ability to rent a car.
We're in the same boat.
I mean, you technically have the ability to rent a car.
That's true, that's true.
You have for at least 3 years.
Is it 25?
It's 25.
Okay.
It's not that it's illegal, it's that none of them will.
Yeah.
Anyway, many cults today are led by people who claim they possess psychic or supernatural powers.
Hey.
Psychic Confession is the compelling story of how Danny Corum, a world-class magician and an expert on deception, unmasked a man heralded as the world's leading psychic, James Heidrick. In Psychic Confession, Heidrick reveals the secrets behind the tricks that deceived others into believing that he had powers, tells about his confinement to a mental institution for 7 years, although he was not retarded.
Is that what it actually says?
Yes.
It's a different time.
How in solitary confinement he developed his alleged powers, how he fooled family members of the late Egyptian president Anwar Sadat into believing he had healed a woman stricken by a heart attack,
Keep it going.
And how dangerous cult groups wanted to use him to, quote, brainwash, unquote, people.
Well, this is getting fun.
Danny Corum is the leading Christian spokesman in psychic deception.
Oh, yeah, this is a Christian VHS.
Fuck me running. We can't
surprise,
get away.
Surprise, bitch.
I should have noticed from the dove. Oh, and also it says Christian and Family Entertainment.
Of course.
He concludes this extraordinary film with comments on how we as Christians can avoid being deceived by those who fraudulently claim to have powers.
So I am very, very, very interested to see how they weave God into this.
So then it has like a list for Heidrick reveals. It's literally...
Are those just this, spoilers?
No, it's this paragraph again.
Oh.
But in list form.
Oh. Come on now.
Like, it's literally the same, like...
They could have put...
Wording.
Fucking screenshots. But they put a goddamn... The outline of the poll paragraph.
Yeah, right.
Come on now.
Lazy. TJ.
Sir.
I want to jump right the fuck into this.
Yeah?
What do you expect?
What do I expect? Weirdly... tied in Bible verses.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how it's going to be presented.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling either more like Unsolved Mysteries,
where there's like reenactments and stuff.
Yeah. Or more like people sitting in a room. I don't know.
We've seen exactly 1 second.
Yes.
Of the end.
And there is a beige wall.
And a man sitting. And he's flamboyantly dressed. I think it's the psychic guy.
Ooh. Fucking Max Headroom on the front.
Max Headroom. Yeah. What the fuck? It's a man in a mask. Because you can see around his eyes, there's skin.
I hate it.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Do you expect this to be a spooky tape?
I expect them to try to be spooky.
Do you expect them to succeed?
No.
Do you expect them to unintentionally succeed?
Maybe.
Baby.
Baby. Maybe. Maybe. Bieber. Like I said, we're getting weird. It's after dark here.
Is that weird for you?
That's dude. I'm losing my fucking mind. I'm going to get some water while we watch this.
Yeah, we need water. Yeah. Very bad. Y'all can probably tell.
But yeah, 1986.
I expect...
Anwar Sadat.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know really what to expect from this.
There's not much to take from...
80s Christian tapes are a lot different from 90s Christian tapes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the main thing that drew me to this VHS was, one, the large plastic clamshell.
Yes.
Two, the fact that it just says Psychic Confession on the spine.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, excuse me, miss. I see you're in my territory.
Oh, pardon me, ma'am. Do you come here often?
You're trying to seduce me. And on the front, there's a terror human.
Yeah. Like, this is a 1-2-3 punch. It's right up our alley. Mm. I legitimately, shoppers.
It's like when you smell garlic getting cooked, and you're like, ooh.
Did you know there are some people who do not like garlic?
What do we call those people?
Bad.
Amen.
Legitimately, Shoppers, I did not know that this was a Christian tape.
I didn't either until I pulled it off the shelf 10 minutes ago. And was just flipping it back and forth, and my eyes went to the bottom of the back, and it says Christian and Family Entertainment. And so, I'm like, another one.
We accidentally have a 1-2 combo.
Yeah, we're trying to build up our combo of two.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not the best fighting game character.
No, we're like Dan, but worse.
Even Dan has like a four hitter.
Yeah, well, Dan has like moves. Well, we like flail.
Yeah. We're like a clay fighter character.
We're like a Balls 3D character. Whoa.
That's
After Dark.
That's in the song.
What song?
When you played Balls 3D, did you not hear the soundtrack?
Oh, you're right. After Dark.
After Dark.
Welcome to 69 Cents. After Dark. After Dark.
We promise.
This plastic is falling apart.
Yeah, that plastic was around when the Earth was made.
This is primordial plastic.
It's actually the first plastic ever made.
It is. This belongs in a museum.
Actually, I know a surprising amount about Halloween decorations from the past.
Okay.
People were making little plastic tchotchkes for Halloween all the way back to the 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like to give out?
Like to hold candy.
Ah.
Not like to go trick-or-treating in, but to hold like individual pieces of candy, like if you're a grandma, I suppose, or if it's a party. Maybe it was the 50s. I think it was the 50s. That seems more right.
Yeah. Post-war.
But like the 60s is where like that sort of thing really took off.
You got like mushrooms in your candy?
Yes. No? Why would you waste the mushrooms on kids?
It's true.
It's like, why would you put drugs in candy? Like,
yeah.
That's your drugs.
You're wasting your perfectly good razor blades on children.
Exactly. You could use those to shave.
Yeah, come on now. Or like score or like cut things.
Oh, you mean.
Not like bowling score, but like to score.
Oh, that's
like
the score you went to the second time.
Yeah.
I thought like the Beavis and Butthead score, like, look at a score.
Oh, no. No, you use those razor blades to line up your Coke.
Yeah.
So, Kevin.
Hi.
That was a video.
It was definitely a video.
That was seriously like a Dateline NBC, like, news-ass presentation mini-documentary thing.
Yeah, definitely.
That was really interesting.
Yes, actually.
We sat for a good half of this tape saying nothing.
We didn't riff a fucking bit.
We riffed in the beginning because watching a white dude do kung fu can be pretty entertaining.
Oh, there was one point where he was like training against like one of those like things where
training dolls.
Yeah. And he looked so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I know you probably can't look cool doing that. Like, it's not designed to make you look cool.
It's designed for practice.
But like, he looked especially goofy.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since he looks like the second player costume in every single outfit that he's in.
He does. So, to give a summary.
Because there's not really a plot.
There's no plot. It's just
it's a
description of this man named James Heidrick.
Yeah.
James Heidrick. And we are following, what was his name? Danny Corum, magician and leading Christian spokesman, which we'll get to that Christian part in just a bit.
I mean, the fucking like move, like tape takes the entirety of it to get to it.
Exactly. It's like the very last during his closing.
This is the least
paragraph.
Jesus-y Jesus thing that we've ever covered.
It really is.
Yeah.
It felt very shoehorned, that the Jesus part.
But like, in the sense that like, it was only one line and he was like,
only through Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah. About, Yeah.
It was one line, and like, he was like, yo, these guys might try to start a cult.
Jesus Don't. Is the only cult you can be in.
Yeah. Only be in the Jesus cult.
Only be in the Jesus cult.
So actually, this is narrated by Jack Palance.
Yeah, that was awesome. Great work.
Did not expect him.
No.
He's in stuff.
He's in things.
Yes.
His name is Jack.
And he's a Palance.
And he's he's good at the Palance beam.
He started the Crystal Palance Skating Center.
Fuck.
It's skate of the art.
Oh, it's late.
After dark.
After dark.
So what's the deal with this Heidrich guy?
So this Heidrich guy, his whole deal was that he teaches like a Kung Fu, Shaolin Kung Fu class. Mm-hmm. He's into martial arts. Pretty good at it.
He looks like he's pretty good at it. I don't know if he
that's
is.
That's true. It might be all fake. But he does tricks where he can like make pencils move. Mm-hmm. Balanced on the corner of a table.
Yeah.
He can make a dollar bill move when it's
in a fish tank
that's been turned upside down on a table. He can make pages flip through a book like without touching it. And this Danny Corum guy, he's also a magician, professional magician.
And he's a pretty good magician.
He's pretty darn good. He's got great sleight of hand.
He's got good like stage presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can definitely misdirect.
Exactly. He's like a mix between a news reporter and a magician.
Which is a fun combo.
It is. He's very good at the interviewing part.
Terrible, terrible hair.
Awful hair. It looks glued on his head.
Heidrich has great hair.
Pretty great hair.
And not just because my hair naturally grows in that exact shape.
It's pretty good hair. So yeah, this James Heidrich guy, he convinces people he has like mental powers. And he sort of trains his students to do things like that, but it usually ends up them laying on the ground with their eyes closed and him saying like, oh,
you made the things move,
the bags are moving, good work.
Yeah.
And like one thing he does is he like grabs someone else's arm and like quote transfers his psychic powers to them for a brief moment. And so we're giggling, we're laughing like, oh, this is ridiculous,
and we're like, I really want to see how he's pulling this off. Mm-hmm. Because up until we get to the fishbowl or the fish tank, I'm like, okay, it's probably strings or something.
Yeah, string or something pretty obvious.
And then he's doing it in the fish tank, and TJ and I look at each other and we're like,
how the fuck?
Okay.
Yeah, things are kind of interesting. And so,
not that we thought he was real, but like, that's a good ass trick.
Yeah, it's got to be interesting. So Danny Corum spends some time observing James doing his tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he like goes back to his hotel room and figures out that it's all essentially breath control.
Yes.
And he's figured out ways of blowing puffs of air without moving his face to control like the pencils and things like that.
Right.
Then the fish tank comes up and we find out that the edge of the fish tank
is not perfectly
not
level.
Meeting the table.
Right.
A little bit of slit so you can get air underneath.
But
it.
Only on one side.
And I was like, oh shit. And so after he figures this out, he goes back to Danny, or Danny goes back to James.
Right.
And
they're adjusts, filming segments for this program.
Exactly. And adjust things very slightly. So things like they put the microphone closer to his mouth.
And he becomes afraid that they're going to hear his breathing. Mm-hmm. So he starts requesting like music.
Exactly.
And things. And then, oh, we can't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then they postpone, they go to another day of filming, but then they deliberately have the mics quote unquote go out.
Yeah, so they have to turn the mic levels down.
Suddenly his magic works.
Mm-hmm. And then with the fish tank, I think he turns it in a certain way.
Yeah, he turns it initially.
Yeah.
So that it's angled so off. That the breath can't get under there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't work. And then he moves it a little bit, and lo and behold, it moves.
Mm-hmm.
But both times they give the power out, like let him use the power.
Yeah, and since Danny already knows the tricks, he starts doing it, and it sort
he
of,
does it a little bit before.
Yeah, James does.
James would do it.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to it first, and when he does the dollar bill thing, we cut to James and he's fucking sweating.
He's like, "Oh fuck!"
It's like, either he's got me or this guy's fucking legit.
Yeah, yeah. But then, so we're like, oh, this is cool. We're learning about the, like, the psychics.
And we're dunking on
him. Dunking on him. And we start the biography.
And, oh my God, this guy's had a hard fucking life. Dear Lord,
if you thought Harry Potter getting locked in a closet under the stairs was bad,
this dude
ain't nothing on this.
This dude.
This poor, guy.
I don't think we're going to describe
this stuff. Let's just say his mom was 15 when he had him, when she had him.
Her husband, father was like 30 at the time.
So, gross.
This is gross, bad shit.
After that, just tales of abuse. And
dude goes into a mental hospital.
He's in and out of foster homes.
He goes into the mental hospital at 9.
Yes.
And comes out at 16.
What, even though he wasn't...
He wasn't mentally ill.
Yes. I mean, he is now, it's pretty clear.
Well, I mean, he's had trauma.
Yes, exactly. I'm not disparaging him for that. I'm just and saying,
he's,
like,
he's fairly lucid when
he, like, is. I'm, yeah, it's not like a schizophrenia thing.
He's just kind of like,
it's just like a behavioral.
Yeah, and like, he's probably a little autistic.
Might be a slight bit. That might also just be the trauma.
Yeah, might be the trauma.
Because like he says later in the film, he
very
says, like,
at the very end, which
I'm 22, and we're like 20 fucking two,
and we're just like, oh my God, we haven't, like, even conned like a person.
Yeah, and we're older than that.
Like, what am I doing with my life?
We got to get on the con train, bro.
Con train.
Con train. Con air. But he said, I'm 22. I've only been in the real world for 2 years.
So I'm not really 22.
Like, oh my God.
That's so sad.
Yes. And so it's so fascinating. It's such an interesting video.
Right. Like, honestly, it's very neat. And they go into a lot of, like, cult leader stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of people are suspecting he wants to start a cult.
And he's like, that was never my intention.
Never my intention to start a cult.
And one question that was actually very astute of Danny, he said, so he's like, you know you can't read. You know you can't write.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried that someone else could use you to start a cult? And he's like, oh, yeah, definitely someone could do that.
Yeah.
He's
very lucid.
Definitely that's a possibility.
Very self-aware.
And he was like, has that ever, like, and he was like, yeah, the alphabet bomber.
Yeah, yeah. He studied that guy when he was in prison.
Well, apparently the guy got, according to James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James. James Heydrich.
According to him, they were in contact, and the guy or people associated with him wanted to use him to start a cult.
They never could confirm that connection, but yes.
Yes, according to him. Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
And like, hoofa doofa.
Yeah, so
he's lucid enough, and he knows that what he's doing is, like, trickery.
Yes, so yeah, we go through this, like, background of him, mm-hmm. and we're like, wow, this
and kid. We kind
of
feel bad dunking on him.
Yeah, we felt very bad after that.
And then we get, like, that was actually just before we see him, like, start to sweat after having been found
and
out.
And then it goes, they talk to him, and he starts to describe, like how, and he starts, not so much confess, just be like, yeah, this is what I do.
Because he realizes he's been found out.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's already fucked.
Yeah.
Like, best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
He's got maybe 2 years of career left.
Poor, poor guy.
In this. So, like, why not talk?
Right.
And then, like, so he's talking to them, like, very, like, lucidly, very, like, calm about this sort of thing. He's like, look, you know, with the... Yeah, I mean, just basically, he's like, yeah, it's just breath.
Yeah, this is, I learned breath control and all this stuff. And he shows him, like,
yeah, like,
oh, I can do this. And then he, like, yeah.
And he's like, I'm pointed at that leaf and I can make the leaf move. And then he just, like, it moves.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it's very convincing.
It's just my breath.
Yeah. Then there's a bit. So after he, like, reveals all this stuff, he talks about, like, they ask him more about, like, just mm-hmm. trying to dig into his, like, pick his brain a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell there's a pretty deep desire for attention.
Literally, he says it.
Yeah. And yeah, just not so, I don't want to say power because that's got negative connotations.
No,
but power.
What he wants is positive attention, I think.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. he never had that.
No, he didn't have that as a child. He certainly only just barely had gotten it as an adult.
Mm-hmm. And with seeing him, it doesn't seem so much like manipulation as since he's basically had stunted social development, like just misplaced.
I don't think he was trying to be malicious at all.
No, not at all.
The quote on the back, with the "my goal was to see how dumb the world was."
That,
how
like,
dumb.
At first, I was like, "Oh, what an asshole!" When I read that.
But
first.
It's more like people thought he was dumb.
Yes, and they
he
was put like, him in a quote. Where is it?
It's number three in the list, I think.
The solitary confinement. No, the mental. It was some mental institution for the. Quote, this is the name of the place, the mentally retarded.
Yeah.
And so people called him dumb his whole life. And he's like, but if I'm dumb.
And I'm tricking you.
And I'm tricking you, and you're supposed to be the smart one. Like,
yeah.
What the world's topsy-turvy.
That's like, I mean, admittedly, that's kind of a supervillain thing.
Yeah.
But, I'll show them all.
Exactly. But, I mean, you can't, like.
I can't fault him.
That's. He's challenging a worldview that was placed upon
him. And he was fooling a shitload of people.
Yeah, and they asked, like, do you fool more kids or more adults? And he's like, oh, adults. Easily.
The question was, are adults fooled as well as children?
Oh, yeah. And he's like, more adults
than children. Because adults want to see this.
Mm-hmm.
They want to believe that this sort of thing is real. And, like, if you show this to a kid, they're like, oh, that's tight.
Yeah.
And then they go run off to play, stickball.
Yeah.
Or learn adults, Kung Fu.
They're seeing something that they want to see in the first place, so they convince themselves.
Yeah.
And then we get Danny talking to a professor at some place I don't remember. Oh, fuck. This thing is falling the fuck apart. And he was talking about, I think they call it the invincibility syndrome, or the not me syndrome.
He's like an investigator for
He worked with the Department of Defense for a little bit. But he's
not
like
defense. I think it was.
It was the Defense Department.
Was it?
Called it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Working on what was it? Cults.
Exposing fake psychics, which is why I was confused as to why that would be defense.
Yeah, I don't know. But and he was talking about the quote "not me" syndrome, which is the idea of like, oh, they're so gullible, they got tricked by it.
You see someone getting tricked by like a magician or a cult leader, like falling into a cult. You're like, I would never fall for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And that makes you more vulnerable to falling for something like that.
So really, I mean, the best defense against that sort of thing is to be aware.
Yeah.
When shit could be, wrong, but trust people.
Yeah, trust people.
Because you can't not trust anybody.
Yeah, not trusting anyone is
a one-way ticket to being a doomsday prepper.
Yeah. A one-way ticket to the current social context we have now. Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
How about that?
Drink Dr. Pepper. Where'd that come from?
Whoa.
It's here in front of you.
Whoa.
This podcast sponsored by Still No One.
Please sponsor us.
Help.
Email us at youjerks.
Give us money so we can fill my house with more shit VHSs.
Give us more money so I can buy food.
I'm hungry. I can show you a magic trick.
I'm hungry. I'll eat a
Snickers.
Poof,
my stomach is empty.
That's not poof, that's poop.
No, you can't when your stomach's empty.
You can't.
Have you ever shat out your own intestines before? Anyway.
After dark.
After dark. What else happened?
That's basically it.
That's basically the whole thing, and it was.
It was really cool seeing how he figured out how the tricks worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, how the fuck? Because
he's a magician. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows the tricks, so he has a better starting point. So and that he's was like it has to be something like this.
And that was his first instinct.
Yeah, Brett.
He was like, it's not strings because he can do it through
the glass.
Through the glass, but I'm like, how did you like? I would have gotten stuck thinking about, how does he do it through the glass?
I would have, moved my hands real fast, but he never moves his hands quickly.
He moves his hands, and your initial thing was that he's using air current from his hands moving.
Right. But it was definitely not, because he's very, very good at not moving his face.
Yeah.
It was, I was impressed.
Actually, in retrospect, should have been Artel.
Yeah.
Because his face is the only thing not moving.
True. True, true. But it was good. It was good. No, this is, I was expecting less.
I was also expecting, not telekinesis.
Yeah, exactly. I was expecting like the cold read sort of psychic. Yeah.
Which is honestly the funnier kind of psychic.
Mm-hmm. Your Long Island mediums.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, essentially the bit that we did in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is my totally real.
That was a corn read.
A corn.
Yeah. But,
fuck.
Bring it back, fuckers. Yeah, fuckers. Welcome Watch to Angry Video Game Nerd.
Angry Video Game Nerd?
Angry Video Game Nerd. After Dark.
I got an angry video game.
Who wants to play some video games? I want to play some video games.
After Dark.
Want to play some Sekiro Human Sacrifice.
Would you... What would you say your favorite part of this was?
As dark as it was, the telling of James's story was the part that basically both of us fell silent.
Yeah.
And just watched. And that was my favorite part, because everything else was cool and fun, but that was so grounding.
Yeah.
That I very much appreciated.
And it really humanized him in a way that I did not expect.
It contextualized him.
Yeah.
Because you can see him as like, oh, a fraud, and he's like tricking people.
We totally expected that.
We came out the gate saying that.
Just to be like, oh, this is going to be dunking on a dude for 44 minutes.
Yeah. But no, it's like, this is still a person.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, and it wasn't so much saying this outright.
Mm-hmm.
But it very much was a, this is what abuse and poor conditions can lead to. Like,
in a
child. Like, he was a young kid.
Sort of in a best case scenario sort of way.
Absolutely. Like, it can lead worse. Much.
Usually it does.
Much worse. At the very end, also, we forgot to talk about this.
Oh.
He gets arrested again.
Oh, yes, he does.
For possessing stolen guns.
Receiving
stolen guns.
Stolen firearms from teens that were in his dojo.
Yes. And so he gets arrested again. And when they come to see him in jail, they had heard that he had tried to hang himself.
And we cut to him being like, yeah, I had it like up under my...
He was describing like, yeah, it was up in my chin.
We're not going to describe it.
Right.
Because... of a specific warning that they have at the very end.
Yeah. But basically he's saying like...
It was a goof.
Yeah. He's like, it was so funny, man. I tricked him so good.
Like he was never in any actual danger.
No, it was all a ruse.
Yeah.
Because when he was in jail before, he convinced some guards and stuff that
he had
ghost powers.
Right.
Because he was able to like breathe and make it feel like people were being touched on their neck and stuff like that.
And that's just... fucking,
that's dope as hell, dude.
Like, that's the kind of dude you want in your prison movie. You know,
but with actual ghost powers. Get on that, Warner Brothers.
They made that.
It's called Suicide Squad.
It's called Green Mile.
Oh, well, you know, but I mean like shooting ghosts out your hands.
Oh
yeah,
you mean like Danny Phantom goes to...
Yeah.
Danny Oz,
Danny Phantom Trejo.
Dude.
Right?
Gritty reboot of fucking
Danny Phantom.
Danny Phantom when Nickelodeon.
Get on that.
Get Butch Hartman on that.
I mean, he's all into the family stuff.
So yeah, he wouldn't be into it.
He would not be into it. Danny Trejo though.
You know that Danny legend. Trejo would be into
that
it.
That legend.
He'd be like, I'm getting kind of old for this sort of shit. Yeah, it's going to be mostly CG. Oh, yeah, I'm in.
You just have to record my face? Fuck yeah, dude. That's right as shit.
Wait a minute. You're going to record my face, and then I'm going to have to do, like, maybe a little bit of motion capture?
How much are you paying me?
40
million. Where do I sign?
Robert Rodriguez is in on this?
Oh, dude. Hell yeah, dude.
All right, we'll get Robert Rodriguez to direct.
Will they do, like, the... who's that comedian that was in Sharkboy and Lava Girl? Lopez?
Yeah. George Lopez.
Yeah, George Lopez. And they like put his face on a stupid robot.
They might do that for someone.
No, just do that Danny Trejo, but like for a Danny Phantom body.
No!
He's Danny Phantom.
Oh no. I don't like it.
I don't know.
There's blood on my knife.
Do you think we'll do those videos for this? I didn't buy them at a thrift store.
Did you get them on sale?
They were on Amazon.
Were they on sale?
I don't know.
Was the price reduced?
Would you want to do a sub-series of some of our favorite bad movies? That could be a lot of fun. Like where every now and then we rewatch one of our favorite bad movies.
Oh, you know what? That's a good place to use new old stock.
Yeah.
Because we didn't buy it at a secondhand store.
It's new, but an old movie.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, look out for that in the future. 69 cent special, new old stock.
Yeah, separate sort of sub-series where we talk about some of our favorite
bad movies. Like, because sometimes we need a break.
Sometimes it just gets a little overwhelming, and I feel like it's going to be soon.
I think possibly
next.
Not next. Do you have them?
I have them, yeah.
Oh, we could watch like Mazes and Monsters and or Skullduggery?
Yeah, I have both of them.
Well, we should probably pick one.
Right, right.
Save the other one.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, this is going to be a shorter episode. Because it's...
There's not a whole lot to talk about.
And there's not a whole lot to riff about.
I would actually say this was one of the best tapes that we've watched.
Genuinely one of the best tapes we've watched. And not just for a comedy factor, but for like a... I feel more connected to humanity after watching
a little
this.
Bit.
Like more like a hug your fellow man sort of... Yeah. Sort of feel.
Not that I will, but you know.
No, gross as
you.
Who are you?
Why would I touch people? Ugh.
Get off of me.
I've seen people sneeze.
I know where you cough.
And it's not into your elbow.
Would you recommend this to a friend?
I would recommend this to several of my friends.
Recommend it to an enemy.
Ooh, that's a tricky one, though.
That is a tricky one.
Because this basically teaches you how to trick people.
Right.
And I don't.
But what about the sympathy factor?
Well, they'll have sympathy for someone who is technically the antagonist.
True.
So.
It's a tough one.
It's a toughie.
It's a tough one.
This question is more for a theoretical enemy because I don't think I have very many.
I don't feel like I do either.
Here's the part where we cut to like a rogues gallery of people that we've minorly yeah. wronged in our lives.
Hold on, let me pull out my list. Where's my Rolodex? Ah, yes. Brandel Thayerton in Punxsutawney, South Carolina.
Brandel?
Brandel.
Thayerton.
Thayerton.
From Punxsutawney.
South Carolina.
A place that does not exist.
Yep. He's one of my enemies.
Well, mine Fuck starts at guy. Aaron A. Aronson.
Aaron A. Aronson with more A's. Less A's.
Aaron B. Aronson.
Aaron C. Aronson.
Aaron Hansen.
No.
listen, sometimes you make an enemy.
Oh, no.
No, I don't think I would recommend this to an enemy.
Nah.
It's too good.
If I had an enemy and I'm picturing if I knew an enemy of mine, I really don't. I probably do, but I don't.
I mean, really, really cosmically, if we knew an enemy of ours and we knew that they were an enemy,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't recommend them any movie.
No fuck them. But like picturing what I picture an enemy of mine would be,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wouldn't recommend it to them.
No. Would you recommend this to a mom?
Ooh, that's a toughie.
Because a lot of the movies we watch, we would not recommend to a mom.
No, because either they'll be like, I have genuine concerns for my son.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying your mom.
A mom. That's even tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I know I would recommend this to my mom.
Because there are parts when they're interviewing his mother
mm-hmm.
that are really pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And that I might... could see it being taken in a few ways,
mm-hmm.
as I could see some moms take it as, I didn't treat my son well enough.
Or
when a lot of them did.
Or them being like, well, at least I'm not that fucking bad.
Right.
Jesus.
That's another way.
Or
they can take it in like, the, I don't know. There's a lot of ways. I'm standard, not a mom, so I...
The standard true crime... Sir, I'm not trying to stereotype moms.
Sure.
But true crime is a big thing right now.
True. That's a good point.
I mean, arguably, it's always been a big thing, but like...
This feels very Unsolved Mysteries, but it's solved.
And it helps that it's narrated by Jack Palance.
Exactly.
Fantastic
work.
He does very good voice work on this.
His voice is so good for this genre.
Mm-hmm. I think I would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think a lot of moms would enjoy this.
Yeah.
They'd be like, ah, I see. And it's a mystery, you know?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of tension.
Now, the reason why I say moms is because temporally, right now, Mother's Day is on Sunday.
Hey!
So.
Hug your moms. Hug your maternal unit.
I hope you hugged whoever you think of as the closest thing to a mom that you have.
That's the best way you could put it.
Because, you know.
Or hug a mom you know.
Get their permission first.
Yeah. They don't want a hug? Yeah, fist bump. They don't want a fist bump? Eh. Thumbs up.
Hopefully they know you.
Yeah. Just start fist bumping moms.
Please don't. Hey.
Hey, you're a mom? Fist bump.
I mean.
Happy Mother's Day.
Do you want to go make a prank video?
Are those still in fashion?
No.
Then no. We'll get like 3 clicks.
I mean, fuck.
Demonetized for saying darn.
When the fuck have we cared about doing things to get clicks?
That's true.
I mean, shit, we make this.
Yeah. Make a podcast.
Oh. I shouldn't like dig on us in the podcast that we're in.
We're good. We're great.
Don't suck our dicks about it.
Too late.
We need to find some fucking Muzzy tapes. You remember Muzzy?
Dude, the language teaching monster?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
We need to find something that has a Muzzy ad on it.
Yeah, there you go. Watching a Muzzy tape would just be learning a language.
That's actually another good idea while we're doing Inside Baseball. We could do a, like, old ads special.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be great, especially since we can't show them.
Right? Any. It's perfect.
We'll just be talking about them.
No, the more I do this podcast, the more I'm like, man, it'd help if this was on video.
I mean, even if it was on video, like, that one's hard. That one's a lot of editing.
Oh, no, video is a lot of editing in general. Like, these I like because I can edit them in, like, an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Pop them up on Simplecast. It's nice. I'm a busy person.
And then Spoofy.
And on Spoofy automatically happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You just upload to Simplecast and it automatically gets up to Spotify. It's really nice. Simplecast is the host, and then you just connect it to other providers.
I see.
Yeah, it's really handy. I recommend Simplecast.
It seems very nice.
We've been talking a lot of inside baseball.
Let's talk about some outside baseball.
Chicago Cubs.
What's your favorite pitch?
Four-seam fastball.
I'm a big fan of a good sinker.
Sinkers are cool. I liked the circle changeup. Mm-hmm. Is a cool one too.
I like the trickier pitches.
Yeah.
This is the part where everyone's like, oh, fuck, I didn't know either of them knew anything about baseball.
Yeah. Welcome to 69 inning special.
Oh, God.
That's a lot of innings.
That's way more innings than you need.
But it's the ones you want.
After
dark.
if it's after dark where you guys are, Merry Christmas.
Happy
birthday.
Labor Day. I don't.
Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. You treat yourself right. Treat your kids right. If you got
kids. Treat your kids right. Treat the world right.
Dude, be excellent to each other.
Plant a seed that you know you'll never enjoy the shade of.
TJ, you know when the best time to plant a tree is? 20 years ago. You know what the second best time is? Right now.
Hey. Go home.
Go home.
Sleep on that.
Yeah.
Think about your life. Don't buy death sticks.